Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Maseches Chulin Daf Ches. We begin right on top. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Shmuel. As we know, Shechita is performed by using a sharp blade, a sharp knife, which cuts through the simanim, the windpipe and the food pipe, right? Esophagus and trachea. You can't burn them. You can't just destroy them. That would render the animal a terefa if you just injure the simanim. It has to be cut. Now, let's say you have a knife which was heated to the point that it's like a libun, right? You take it and you make it red hot. A very, very hot knife. Use that. You take that and use it for shechita. Interesting question. Shall we say that the simanim have been cut by way of the sharp blade? Or shall we say that the heat, the immense heat of that knife, burnt through the simanim and injured them, rendering the animal a treifa, which is now forbidden? Was it an act of shechita or not? Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Shmuel, Libein, Sakin, he took a knife, he did Libun, right, made it red hot, and performed shechita with that knife. Shechita seik shera, it's an acceptable shechita. Why? Chiduda. The sharpness of the blade, the impact coming from the sharpness, the cutting effect of the knife precedes the heat effect, the burning effect. It takes a while for the heat to transfer. And by the time that happens, the cut has already occurred. Chiduda, its sharpness effect, koidem precedes. Libuna precedes its heat effect, its heat transfer. Okay, says the, well, that's good regarding the point of impact where the blade impacts and cuts. The tip of the blade. But what about the sides of a blade? Right? Which are now touching the sides of the simanim. So before the knife had a real chance to cut through, you know, shechita only happens when roiv, the majority, you get to the point of 50%+ of that siman. Then you have shechita, but until that point, while it's still 20%, 30%, 40% cut, the shechita is still midway, right? At that point, if the sides, the walls of the knife had come into contact with the walls, so to speak, the sides of the siman, and burnt them and injured them and harmed them, that makes it a treifa. But you could studen. The answer is it never touches the studen. Because the cut area widens. As knife comes through it, the simanim just widen and shy away from the knife, so it never comes into contact with the walls of the hot walls of the knife. Iboil, now comes a new question, which will somewhat relate to our discussion. Totally different topic. Topic of negayim. So as we know, we look in the Psukim, we find something called Shechin and Michva. So if a white blotch, a white stain, a nega, appears on an area which had been burnt, a person had a burn, Leilin, when there was a nega on that. So there are two types, two categories. One is called Shechin. It's sitting on top of a boil, some sort of mark that was generated by way of a strike, by way of heat, that was generated by way of an impact, like getting a bang, right? It's not a fire sourced, it's just plain heat. Then we have heat sourced, fire sourced. That's michva. Person got a burn. And that area is called a michva, a burn, on which if a neger appears, he becomes tamei. Now you can't mix them up. You can't combine a shechin and a michva. Shechin is being struck and being heated up by way of non-fire, and michva is by way of fire. So now comes an interesting question. Yiboilu. The Bnei HaYeshiva wanted to know, let's say libein shefud, he takes a shefud, which is a rod, heats it up very intensely, v'hikubain, strikes his good old friend. What's the status of that mark, of that injury? Because we have two elements at play. We have the power of the impact, the effect of the strike itself, that heat that causes injury, and we have the fire effect, right? The actual heat that was transferred, the burn effect due to the burning, rod. So how would we define the injury? Mishum shechin nidon, is it considered like shechin on account of the actual strike impact? Mishum michva nidon, or to view it as a burn. Now, what's the difference? Why not gemina? Because the sanya as per the brisa, shechin and michva. So these two types of negoim mitamen b'shivua echad mitamen they're a tumah procedure. Their tumah process extends for a week only, as opposed to other negoim which have 2 or 3 weeks. This is limited to a week. B'shnei simanin, there are two signs of tumah. B'seir alavin, if they grow white hair, b'fisin, or they actually expand and grow. Now, the obvious question is, if they both have the same system, why split them into two different types of negoim? You can't combine them. So, only if a full-sized nega, which is a shear of a gris, the size of a bean, appears on the shchin, will you be tummy, or on the michva, will you be tummy? You can't combine. Suppose you have a shchin and michva side by side, you have the half nega on this side, straddling, right? Half on this side, it's not going to be tummy. Shame is darf and zems. Okay, v'tanya, we have a braisa, or a mishnah, it's none. How do we define shchin? How do we define michva? Ezo shchin, ezo michva. The answer is shchin is a mark resulting from a non-fire-sourced heat strike, right? By being hit, by being slapped. Whereas michva is fire-related. Ezo shchin, ezo michva. Loka ba'etz, he was struck by a piece of wood, by evan, stone, by gefas, with hot olive skins after they press them, they're really hot. That's not fire related. V'chami Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria, which are very hot but not heated by way of fire. V'chodava sholei b'machmas, or anything that wasn't fire generated. Lasuria, to include Aver Meikare, that's lead which was quarried from its source, which where it's very hot. All these are examples of Zeushchen. V'ezo Mechva, what's considered Mechva? Fire-related injuries. Nikva b'gacheles, it got burnt with a coal. Berembetz, with hot ashes. Besid reseach, cooking lime. Begavsis reseach, cooking in plaster. Uvechadavar b'machos or. Likewise, any fire-related heat. Lasui chamya or. Water boiled on fire, over fire. Zui michva, these are michva. Betanya. Furthermore, we have a brisa. We're sort of building up our equation here. Shechin and michva. Suppose a person experienced a shchin and a michva in the same exact spot. How do we deal with it? How do we classify it? The answer is, whatever came last, that determines its status. Im shchin kaim el michva, if shchin arrived before the michva, bitel michva sa shchin. So now michva that came last, that burn undoes the shchin effect. And vice versa as well. Vim michva kademis la shchin, if a michva preceded the shchin, bitel shchin sa michva, shchin took over the michva. Vachay chedami. Okay, so back to our story with the rod that was used to strike his friend. The fellow had a little shchin area which featured a half-sized nega, half a gris. Gris is like a bean, right? I think it's 36 hairs. Place where 36 hair can grow. So that's the shear. That's the minimum size for a nega. So he had half on the shchin. His good friend comes along. Takes his rod, the shvud, and fires it up and strikes his friend right next to the shchin. And on that injury, on that mark, suddenly appears another half a gris of a nega, right next to the neighboring half a gris. My, what is his status? So, the first part was certainly a shchin. This new injury, how do we define it? There's an element of shchin in there because it was produced by a strike, because it was hit by the rod, but there's michva as well because it was fire heat transferred. So the question is, which one comes first? My chavat kadum, shall we say the effect of the actual strike gets his foot in the door first, he's there first, v'asi hevlan, and the heat effect comes umavatale, and undoes that. So now, and undoes the effect and status of the chavot of the strike. And therefore, Babylon, it's like the case of the shchin, which was followed by umichva, v'leim istarfen. And now, it's defined as a michva. It's labeled as a michva, and it cannot connect. It can't be combined with the other half, which was shchin. Because shchin and michva can't combine. Oidim, shall we say, that's the other way around. Havla kadim, first, the heat effect takes place. V'asi chavat adan, the strike effect comes along, v'vadli lahavlan, undoes the hevel effect. V'havli shchin. So now, since the final step was shchin, it's considered shchin, and it now can connect to his neighboring shchin as well. V'avli shchin shchin and mitzdarif. So which way? Tashma, which we can try to prove it from the halacha that we had on the top of the page. Damar b'zeinu m'shmuel, regarding shchita, leave in sack and m'shachat, but he took this red hot knife and used it for shchita. It's okay, sh'tasek sher. Why? Because the cutting effect of the blade precedes the heat transfer. Chiduda, koidem libuna. So what do we see? Apparently, the strike effect goes first. So same thing with the rod. The strike effect is felt first, and then comes the heat. No, chidud shani, it's very different, because by the knife, we're talking about a very, very thin surface area, the tip of the blade, which is causing the cutting effect, which has very little heat there. So certainly over there, you say the cut precedes the heat transfer, but over here it's a flat surface, it's a rod or a round surface. Perhaps it doesn't work that way. Perhaps the heat gets transferred quicker. Toshmai comes another raya from Reb Raisa, which discusses our very case. Li ben shvud v'kabay. Okay, he took the shvud, the rod, heated it, struck with it. Nidan b'shem michvaseish. That injury is called michva. No, so what do we see? Alma, apparently chavat akadon. Physical strike effect comes first, and then comes the heat transfer, which obliterates the shchin effect and relabels it as a michva. It's exactly our discussion. No, asamnami, perhaps there as well. The mivra is a bar mivras. Dainu chidut, what happened was, he didn't strike him on the flat surface. See, the rod had a pointy edge, a pointy surface, and he struck him with the point first. So it's like the case of the knife, because the point has a very small surface area. And there, certainly, you can say the bang, the strike effect, the impact of the actual strike goes first, and then comes the heat transfer. But if it's a flat surface, a wider surface, like a flat rod, there perhaps it's different, so we're not sure which way to go. Okay, so in summation, red hot knife used for shchita is okay because the chidu, the cutting effect, precedes the heat transfer, and there's no trefa issues. Regarding the rod that was red hot used to strike and create this shchin and michva combination, which way do we look at it? We're not sure. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravu. Another halacha regarding a knife. Saken shlaveis kicham. You have a knife which belongs to Avodah Zarah. It's meant for idol worship. You don't worship the knife itself, but it's meant to serve Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to have any positive benefit from it. Any hanah. And muta lishchat bo, you could do shchita with it. Whoa, why? We'll see in a minute. V'asu lachta bo, you can't use it to cut basa, to cut meat. So shchita, yeah, but just cutting in the kitchen, no. Why? Mutal shchitva, you can use it for shchita makakluk, because technically he's destroying. He's diminishing the value of the animal. Rashi explains the animal during its lifetime is available for three functions. Generate offspring, farming, and for consumption. And now when he's shechting it, he's now downgrading it to just its meat value. So technically he hasn't really had any net benefit from the knife itself, which just actually caused him harm. But v'asu lachtach b'basa, you can't use it to chop away meat, lachtach b'basa, misakenu, because there he's actually benefiting. Rashi says, you know, once the shechita was done, okay, now it's meat, irrespective of its former status. So meat, it's got to be cut up. That's called having ano. Amar Rava, right? So you know, there's an exception to this rule. Sometimes shchita would be asr. When it's an unhealthy animal. The animal is sick and about to die. So now, shechting it actually salvages the value of the animal. So you can't use the sakin for that. Conversely, umachatech mutter. At times, cutting meat with this knife is okay. Ba'atmi. Where it's, you know, nice cuts of meat, prestigious cuts of meat, the kaiman lekurbana, which I meant, you know, suitable for use as a gift to present to a prominent person. And now you're going to cut it up into pieces, you can chop it up into, you know, it ruins its status. So in this case, actually, it's the opposite of ano. Ask the Gemara, okay, we're talking about, you know, having ano, and whether it's ano. Aside from that, isn't there a more basic issue? The kashrus of the knife should be an issue. What about the shamnunis, the fattiness of Isra, the forbidden residue sitting on this knife that was a bizarre knife, was used for a non-kosher? Says the Gemara, we turned down a base. B'chadasha. It's a brand new knife. It was never really used to cut forbidden materials. Well, if that's the case, then what's the issue? You can have a knife from it as well. If it was never used to serve Avodah Zarah, even though it was designated for that purpose, but until it's actually pressed into service, it's not Asur. B'chadasha. Bein Rabbi Shmuel. Bein Rabbi Kiva. According to all Shittos. Mishamshi Avodah Kechav Mehen. We're talking about something which was meant to be used for Avodah Zarah purposes, to serve Avodah Zarah. Mishamshi Avodah Kechav Mehen. And these items, Eilem Asur Nashi Ya'avdu, don't become Asur until they're actually used. As opposed to new, one answer could be the pasuk ba'gavz lavitz kechavim. It was used in a different context. It used to cut the pasuk ba. He used it to cut gavz, a piece of wood, for David Azara. So it was used. In which case, it's now considered mishamshi avodis kechavim, which are forbidden for further use and further anah by Israel. At the same time, it has no fatty residue on it. It wasn't used for meat at all. Same, another way to answer this, Bishana was speaking about an old knife which had been used over the Zara. Shaliv Nabor, which went through Levin, it was burnt out. It was koshered. So the only remaining issue is having a noah from a Avodah Zarah knife. Itmar comes a new question regarding another knife. Hashaychet b'sakan shel oivdei kechav. Now he took a knife that belonged to Goyim, that was used for non-kosher materials. And he did the shechita with it on a kosher animal. What happens? Now we assume there was shamnunis, right? There was this forbidden fattiness on the knife itself. And the question is, how deeply embedded is that material in the new animal? How far do you have to go to extract it and to remove that material? Rav Amar Koylov, he has to peel off a layer which is deemed to have absorbed this illicit material. Rav Bar Chana Amar, no, Madiach, just give it a rinse. A surface rinse. Why? What's the machlokes about? So, we know that when there's no heat involved, then there's no absorption. A rinse is enough. When there's heat involved, then we assume there's absorption. So the question is whether the base hashchita, the place where you cut, how hot is it? Is it considered soinen, cool, or is it considered overheated and absorbent? Lema, but commitly, perhaps the machlokes revolves around this question. One shita says, well, it's a beis hashchita, the place where you sheft is cool and it doesn't have the absorption concerns, so rinsing is enough. Umar Sava, the opposing shita, says, beis hashchita reseach. No, it's cooked, it's heating, it's really hot out there. In there. Lo, you know, the kuliyam all perhaps hold beis hashchita reseach. And in fact, the beis hashchita gets really heated up. Nu, Mandam HaKoylov, the one that says you have to peel that layer, shopper, that's explained very well because of absorption concerns. Umandam Madiach, the one that says just give it a rinse, why? What happened to the absorption concern? I did it to read in Simonin. Oh, here there's a special element called 3D Simonin. The Simonin are preoccupied with exuding, expelling their blood. That's what they're doing, right? The 3D Simonin, they're preoccupied, lafukidam, to expel their blood, leibali, they're not going to absorb. There's a one-way street coming out. So the traffic coming out doesn't allow any absorption. Igadam, there's another way to explain this machlek. The kuliyama, all agree, beis hashchita tzoyne. The area is not considered overheated. No, manda omar madiach shapa, that explains why you can rinse it. Manda omar the other sheet that says, koilof, you have to peel it off. Here it's different. Agav doicha desakine bala. Although there's no heat element to speak of, but the duchik, the sakina, the pressing down, the pressure created by that knife during the shechita, that pushes it in and facilitates an absorption of this material into the skin, into the meat, and has to be peeled away. What about second treifa, a new type of situation? He has a knife that had been used to shecht a kosher animal, which was then discovered to be an injured animal, a treifa, which is not kosher. Now, how do you clean the knife for further use? Pligibor Rav Acha Ravina, another machlek. Chadamar b'chamin, chadamar b'tzoinin. One says just rinse it off with tzoinin, with cold. The other one says no, you have to use hot. You have to. Rashi says it means hagola, the accepted, you know, hagola procedure of extraction through boiling hot water. What's the machlek is about? So the one that says chamin, that's because it absorbed by way of the beis hashchita, which was heated. One that says tzoinin, Rashi says, you know, the beis hashchita is just does not achieve that degree of heat which facilitates a blia. And what's the halacha? The conclusion is you can use even cold water. Interesting, Rashi says, well, here we're concluding that it's okay, we're more lenient than in the piece just a minute ago. The Gemara didn't really conclude one way or the other. So he says, even though it appears that it's based on the same factors, right? So he says, because they were talking about a knife. A knife is a hard surface, kashal of loya, more difficult to absorb into a knife than to a piece of meat. So here we assume it's okay, you could just give a rinse. Whereas in the previous Gemara, we're talking about the reverse question, that the improper material may have gotten absorbed into the skin, into the flesh of the animal, which is more absorbent, of course. There, it's a different story. Okay, so here we pass. Now, you don't have to necessarily rinse it with water. You can just give it a nice scrub and you're good enough. Belisa, the parasite, if you can find a patch, a little piece of hard material, old beged, which can be used to scrub off this residue, lemich berei, to wipe off this, scrub off and clean up the knife, then that's good enough. Like, so you don't need to rinse it any further. Lemando amar bechamin. Now, according to the shita that held that you have to actually use hagola, hot water, to extract the absorbed residue, my timer, what's the issue? Mishum the Kabbalah Yisura. Right? The issue is because the knife was boilei, it absorbed, you know, from the treifa that it was used to, that it shechted, right? Well, you know, if that's an issue, then you can't use any knife. The hetera nami, so let's say you took a regular knife, shechted a regular animal. Now let's realize an animal during its lifetime is forbidden for consumption. Why? A living being, Eiver Menachai. So while he's doing the shechita, let's assume it's very hot in there, right? So there's non-kosher material of this Eiver Menachai going into the knife. Until the shechita actually concludes, during the act of shechita, there's Eiver Menachai material. Well, Eiver Menachai. So that's a concern with every knife. Every knife should need hagala after you do any shechita. Says Dimar, no, listen to this. Emas bala, when does the knife absorb? L'chichayma, when the area rises to a very high degree of heat, right? When it achieves a high temperature. When does that happen? Emas kochayma l'chigamar shechita, when the shechita concludes. That's just by laws of nature, that's what happens. That's when it heats up. Well, at that point, it's already shecht, right? A law that's Eiver Menachai status, which eliminates any concern of iser absorption. At that point, it's already heter. So there's no concern with every knife. It's just over here when we know that he shechted a treifa animal, which was forbidden all along. Right, beginning to end. And at that last point, when the heat reaches a high enough point, which facilitates absorption, and the animal's a treifa, you have a problem with the knife. Okay, so conclusion regarding knives. A heated knife is okay because chidud kadim libuna. Sakash avid zara, typically can be used for shechita, but not for chatichas basar, barring some exceptional cases. A sakan which was used for non-kosher materials, and now you want to use it for the shechita. If it was used for shechita, some say rinsing of the flesh is enough. Some say klifa, and depends on the question of beis hashechita, whether there is heat involved in the beis hashechita. Another pshat is whether the pressure of the knife is mavliya. And regarding a sakan used for a treifa, machlekes whether you in hagala or just rinsing or cleaning, and that's the maskan. Okay, one more look regarding knives. Amar vida amar rav hatabach, every butcher, every shechet tzorach shleishes akinen. Seems like the butcher of the old days, he was also the sheichet. He was a sheichet, and he would actually cut up the meat, and right? So he needs a set of three knives, each one with a different purpose. Hatabach tzorach shleisha sakin, three knives. Achas sheichet, but one for shechita. Ve'echad shemachat avobasar, one is for cutting of the cuts of meat. Ve'echad shemachat avobasar, ve'echad, and the third one, to cut the forbidden fats. Shemachat avobachalom, you can't mix up the knives. Ask the Gemara, I understand why you need a separate one for the shechita, to keep it, you know, sharp and smooth. You don't want to dull it, you don't want to chip it. But why a separate knife for the basar and the chalef? V'liskin leichade, all he needs is really one knife for the basar and the chalef. And he should do it in order. V'lichtoich b'basar, first let him cut the permissible material of the meat. And when he's done that, go over to the chalef. V'hadar, lichtoich b'chalavim, then cut the chalavim, and then rinse it off and start again. Why two separate knives? Because there is a concern that he might mix it up. He might do the fat and then move over to the meat. And the knife will have transferred some of the chalav material into the meat. Well, Ashtanami, now, so here too, if you have two knives, you might mix them up. You might mix them up and use the wrong one. Kivas Rechinu Terei, since we required him to have two, then he's mindful, Islei Hekera, then he's pretty clear about it. It's pretty obvious that he has to keep it separate, and he'll remember. Okay, talking about keeping things kosher and separate, he needs to have two bowls, shalmai, filled with water, for rinsing purposes. So one to rinse the permissible meat, the other one to rinse the fat. Again, same question, just have one bowl, and do it in order. First rinse the meat, then the fat, he might mix it up. Shami yadei chalav, machach basar. He might do the fat and then the basar. Ashtanami, well, here is all. He might mix them up and do the wrong one and the wrong thing. Michlev leg, maybe I get mixed up. The answer is, since he has to have two, it makes it obvious and clear. And kivin asrachinu trati, since we required him to have two bowls, islei hekero, it's clear and it will avoid confusion. Amar Meimar, talking about keeping things kosher, mishmed rapapa, he names rapapa, loy lischeif inish. Kafli is the side of the xalem, the flanks of the animal, which has a bed of meat on which there is some forbidden fat perched, right? So it's meat with a glob of fat perched on it. That's the way it grows. That's the way, you know. A person should not layer, should not place this kafli, this side of the animal, on top of another piece of meat, because the fat is now going to be overturned and lying on that new piece of meat. The doiv tarba, the forbidden fat will now trickle, will not dissolve and run into the new meat. The balabisra will be absorbed into the new meat. And make it also, yuck, if that's the case, kitritsinam, even just sitting in its place, lined up properly, doiv tarba, balabisra, the fat. Why is it no concern that the fat will just run into its own surrounding flesh, will be absorbed into its surrounding flesh? It's sitting on basar, right? The answer is there's a membrane, waterproof membrane in between karma. There's a membrane, mafsik betatoi, that's separating the fat from the meat below. Look, if that's the case, meiloi, let's switch to testament alf, meiloi nami. Well, on the top side as well, meaning what's wrong with putting it over another piece of meat? The fat is covered on all sides. It's encased on bottom and on top with a membrane. Meiloi nami, karma, iku. There's a membrane sitting on top of the fat as well. It's totally encased. It's already been tampered with and disturbed. Aidi de memashmesha yoda de tavcha mifchas, because the tabach, the butcher, the fellow is tampering and moving things. It mifses, it gets disturbed and gets broken up, and the top layer is no longer intact, in which case, be careful not to have it come into contact with other meat, lest there be a transfer, which is problematic. Okay, that's it for today. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabba.